SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS Radio.
I'm Bertrand Tungandame, and my guest is Sharon McLeod, Professor of Speech and Language Acquisition at Charles Sturt University. Professor McLeod is joining us on NITV Radio in the context of Speech Pathology Awareness Week, which runs from the 21st to the 27th of August. Professor McLeod is co-author of a study celebrating young Indigenous Australian children's speech and language competence. Welcome to NITV Radio, Professor McLeod.
Thank you very much, and happy Speech Pathology Week, where the theme is good communication and better communities. It's my great honour to speak with you.
Professor McLeod, before we delve into your study celebrating young Indigenous Australian children's speech and language competence, can you tell us a few words about speech pathology and the importance of dealing with speech pathology, especially in the context of this week we are in, especially because you're dealing with children and it's extremely important to actually address any issues like speech pathology at an early stage, as this is something that is about the future leaders. If we don't tackle any issues they may encounter at an early age, well, it might be too late to tackle these issues at a later stage.
Absolutely. Well, can I just begin by saying that I'm talking to you from Wiradjuri land, and I have grown up as a little girl on Wiradjuri land, have left and now have come back and have been working here as part of Charles Sturt University for nearly 25 years now. And during my time here, I'm a non-Indigenous woman, but I have spent time actually a whole year learning the Wiradjuri language and have a certificate one in Wiradjuri language. So Yamandu Murung from Wiradjuri land. Whilst doing that course and whilst living on Wiradjuri land, I have been very honoured to work with my Indigenous friends and colleagues in some of the language revitalization on Wiradjuri land, and just some of the amazing work that people, including Stan Grant Senior and Stan Grant, have been doing with other people. Stan Grant Senior was involved in putting together a Wiradjuri dictionary, so which I was just looking at this morning in my home without even knowing that I was going to end up talking to you. So it's really precious to do that, and it's really precious as a speech pathologist to the message that I have been talking about on ABC Radio today and in other places recently is about the importance of maintaining home languages. And this morning I spoke with Virginia Trioli about maintaining home languages across Melbourne, and about how in the census we are supporting children to maintain their home languages. And every time the Australian census comes out, there's a different dominant home language in Australia apart from English. One of the things that as speech pathologists we see is important to do is encourage families to maintain their home languages, because this increases children's ability to belong, to be part of their communities and families. And to, as well, when children speak many languages, it has cognitive benefits of their flexibility of their minds. It has benefits that head towards support in education and occupational benefits. So, in fact, we have found that when looking at the census, people who speak English as well as another language well are much more likely than monolingual English people to have a higher income, higher employment, and more likely to go to university. Now, Indigenous people have had many languages spoken across our country for a very long time. And we have a sad history of not maintaining these languages and our connection to culture and community and knowledge. So these efforts that are being maintained at the moment to bring back languages from extinction or near extinction, but of the about 15 languages that are still very vibrant, Indigenous languages that are still very vibrant in Australia, it's really important to continue the maintenance of these languages. So if it's okay, if I keep continuing, I'm still talking, because our research, we were very honoured to work with researchers in the Australian, the longitudinal study of Australian Indigenous children. This is a study that was set up by the Australian government, but actually really relied on families and children across Australia. It was a study that these children, and some of your listeners may have been involved in the study. There's over 1,000 children who have been seen every year. And we were invited by the team in Canberra that were running it to use our knowledge about speech and language to work with the linguist that was involved, Laura Bennett-Kneebone, and to actually work through these data and really understand just how clever Indigenous Australian children were. So we published this paper that was, let me get the title right, it was called Celebrating Young Indigenous Australian Children's Speech and Language Competence.
Yeah, a key component of this study is celebrating young Indigenous Australian children's speech and language competencies, that you're actually working with Indigenous children who speak not just one, but speak between 1 and 8 languages.
Yeah, so that's one of the really amazing things we found. You're right, that we were able to follow the data from 692 Indigenous Australian children, and between the ages of 3 and 7 years of age. And we parents reported about what their children were doing, but also there was some assessments done in English and also in a number of the Indigenous languages by the Longitudinal Study of Indigenous Australian Children. Or the other name for that study is called Footprints in Time. So some of your listeners may know it as the Footprints in Time study. And what we actually found was that these children were speaking between 1 and 8 languages, these Indigenous children. Amazing competence. And for many of these children, English was not their first language. Of course it wasn't. And so some of the languages that they spoke were Indigenous languages and Creoles, but some of them also spoke languages such as Greek or Italian or Vietnamese, and some of them spoke sign languages, used sign languages. Some Indigenous sign languages, but also Australian sign language as well, because they had hearing loss. And so we found that these children's language environments were really rich. Family members and friends were telling stories, reading books, and listening to their children read in many languages. We also found that one of the places where a lot of Indigenous languages were used with the children was during swimming. So we actually were able to look at the places and things that really motivated children to speak a range of different languages. So that was a really fun part of the study as well. And of course, during storytelling and other cultural activities, but some of the usual day-to-day activities like swimming and cooking and things like that, the children were using Indigenous languages as well, which was just wonderful.
So you followed the children over time and picked up their language competence and how they picked up language, as you mentioned, through swimming and other social interactions. So the study was carried out over a long period of time.
So another part of this research that we haven't quite published yet, you're getting the hot off the press research, we were able to follow 1,534 children from the Longitudinal Study of Australian Children, looking at their speech and language at age 3 to 5 years, and then following them through into their NAPLAN testing, but also tests of reading and maths that were undertaken during Indigenous languages, and also teacher-reported literacy and numeracy. And one of the things, one of the most important messages that we found was that Indigenous children's mums and dads and family members were the best people to identify speech and language difficulties. So when, and then the, if parents were worried about children's speech and language when they were 3 to 5 years of age, these children frequently went on to have difficulties with reading and spelling and even mathematics and other academic areas. Now, this is not unique to Indigenous children. We have found exactly the same when we analysed the longitudinal study of Australian children for almost 5,000 children in Australia. It was studied in a twin program, that a twin study that the Australian government did. They ran their longitudinal study of Australian children that had a few Indigenous children in it, and then they also ran the longitudinal study of Indigenous children, and we have found the same thing, that if parents are concerned about their child's speech and language around about 3 to 4 years of age, then they really need to act. They need to really think about supporting them in their home language as well as English, but keeping and maintaining that home language is a really important part, and also seeking advice and support from others who have strong language skills. Speech pathologists are a part of the team of people who have a lot of skills to support people's speech and language. Speech Pathology Australia has a real commitment to their Reconciliation Action Plan and to Indigenous ways of learning and working. We don't always get it right, but we are doing our best at the moment. And you can see on the Speech Pathology Australia website just the work that is being done at the moment. Speech pathologists across Australia and the world have a real commitment to the ability to communicate as a human right and as a way to maintain our communities, our sense of belonging and our sense of identity. If children are really struggling to communicate, one of the things that we really look at to start with is, does the child have good hearing? And many young Australian children have difficulties with glue ear and so may need some medications or whatever to clear up their hearing so that they can hear well and speak well. Also, having really great times of sharing language, sharing books, sharing communication. We've just finished running a program with the Vietnamese community where we ran it during COVID lockdown. So we ran it on Zoom with, it was every week there were about 14 Vietnamese preschool children, 4 to 5 year olds. We posted them superhero capes and we all had our superhero capes because being multilingual is a superpower. And we ran all these games. We had multilingual books in Vietnamese and English. We had created all these little cards with Vietnamese and English words for food and for activities and for things, household things around the house. And many families used these cards as for playing games, even driving in the car and all sorts of things to really support their children's multilingual superpower. One of the most beautiful, you know, we did all this research and all these things with numbers, but I think one of my absolutely favorite things that happened was that one of the men, the dads from the group, actually said, and let me just find his quote, he said, this program was not just about maintaining Vietnamese, but also about strengthening the bond between parents and children. And many of the parents talked about how it enabled them to love their children more because they could speak in the languages that was their heart language, and that our program really enabled children to see the benefit of their parents' heart language, their parents' community.
So one would conclude that families, whether they are Indigenous or non-Indigenous, had similar concerns about their children's language competence and abilities.
And so this message is really across all the clever multilingual people across Australia, Indigenous people and people from many other cultures, that we are so much better if we actually think about our world in many different languages, and that we really respect and value the language and culture of each individual. The final thing that I actually want to say is that grandparents are really, really, really important in this. And many young children have grandparents who care for them, while their parents are at work or whatever. Grandparents passing on their home languages is so important. And something that tends to happen is just before school, many parents and families go, oh, they're about to go to school, they better hurry up and learn English. Now, it's okay to learn English, but kids are going to get English just by being in Australia. Don't let these children lose their home language. Maintain the home language. You can do both. Kids are really clever. We've got the research to show Indigenous kids can speak up to 8 languages. Speaking 2 is fine. Kids are really smart. And even when they have speech and language difficulties, our research shows that kids are really smart and are able to speak more than one language, 2 or 3 languages, even with speech and language difficulties. And speech pathologists really, really encourage you to keep those languages. Don't drop it. Don't just speak English.
Though families share similar concerns, it would appear when it comes to language learning and speaking, using language at home, there would be some major differences.
Yeah, look, every family is different. And even every child in every family is different and has a different opinion on this. So one of the things that we've worked on doing with the Vietnamese community is encouraging families to actually talk about it, to have a family language policy. Is it important to them to maintain their home language? If so, when? Some families go to the extreme of having one parent per language, but I don't think, and looking at the research, not that we've done this research, but looking at other people's research, I don't think you need to go to that extreme. But it's a really good idea to have a rule, you know, that during dinner we speak Spanish, or during dinner we speak Wiradjuri, during bath time we play with the toys in the bath in Wiradjuri language, and then that's it. Or some families I know speak their home language at home, and then they walk out the door and they speak English unless they're with other people from their community. And so families really need to actually just have a chat. And that chat, I think, should happen every 6 months or even every 3 months, because it will change, particularly as children grow older. Attending cultural events is great if you have cultural events to attend. There's a lot of amazing things online, and I think people just don't realise that even very common books in Australia, like The Very Hungry Caterpillar or Mem Fox's Where is the Green Sheep, are available in many, many languages. Then I have a bookshelf I really collect Indigenous Australian books written in Indigenous languages, and there are some absolutely beautiful books that Indigenous communities are developing, and I have them available in my office for visitors to see the range of things and to get inspiration for their communities as well. I think that activities, games, books, things that make learning language fun are an important part. And you don't have to have commercially available books. We have technology these days. You literally can take a photograph and write in your language underneath it a story, and you've got your own iPad book that a child can enjoy, you know. So there's so much scope if we just use our imagination to think about how we can maintain language.
And one more finding in your study that has been highlighted is that children who spoke an Indigenous language were more likely to live in moderate to extreme isolation.
Yeah, so this was, again, from the Footprints in Time study, the longitudinal study of Indigenous children. And we tried to work out, well, you know, how for this study. So they had 11 different sites across Australia where they specifically chose to look at those groups. So they had children in really metropolitan areas like Sydney. They had children in large regional places like Dubbo near me, and they also had children in the Torres Strait and other places across Australia, so 11 different sites. And it certainly was the case that children were able to maintain their home language, their Indigenous language, much more if they were more isolated from an English language environment, because their communities were speaking those home Indigenous languages. It's much more difficult when you walk out the door and every sign you see, every person you hear is speaking in the English. And one of the really fascinating and different things about Australia compared to many other countries is that we don't have a dominant second language. So in a country like Canada, they speak English, and then a lot of people speak French, and then there's other languages. In a country like the US, a lot of people speak Spanish as a second language. In Australia, every time the census comes out, the top five languages are different. This year, we had Mandarin, Arabic, Punjabi was in it for the first time, Vietnamese and Cantonese, I think, whereas Italian and Greek have now are no longer in the top five languages. And so these languages keep changing. So the mix of the Australian community and what people are speaking is changing, and also the time since migration. So if you're in the first or second generation of migration for foreign language speakers, you're more likely to maintain the language than if you're in the third generation. And I think that this research from the Indigenous communities might be showing that people who are closer to their cultural families are more able to maintain their languages than people who are more immersed in larger communities. I'm not sure about that because I didn't actually collect that research.
Your findings actually mirror another study that I covered recently about revitalizing endangered languages, a workshop that was carried recently at Batchelor Institute with the Native Americans, helping Indigenous Australians revive Indigenous languages. And it was actually said in that conference that it is extremely important to have elders interact with younger generations in order to develop language skills and revitalize languages.
I think, we have been promoting that across all languages, and I do have some colleagues that work with the Navajo community in the bottom of America. I'm actually working on an Oxford University Press handbook in 72 different languages and dialects across the world at the moment. So I'm very honoured to just learn from so many people and the importance of intergenerational sharing of language and keeping languages alive is really important. And grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, the whole community has a role in supporting children's communication regardless of even if they speak one language, but to maintain languages, it's just so important. So everybody in the community has a really important role to play In maintaining and supporting children's language development and their ability to thrive in this world.
Professor McLeod, it's been really a great pleasure talking to you in the context of this Speech Pathology Awareness Week. But before I let you go, anything you'd like to add, maybe a closing word?
Oh, look, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to all of your communities today. And so I close with the Speech Pathology Week logo and theme, good communication, better communities. So keep communicating amongst yourselves and particularly amongst those precious children in your communities. Thanks very much.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.